What was that? What was your recruiting year? Your senior year of high school or what?
'01. Yeah. So
okay. I never know what to make of it when I remember details of people's lives more quickly than they do. Oh, yeah. Like I had to stop myself and be like, it's 01. Yeah. And on that note, welcome to Highly Questionable Football Monday. Dominique Fosworth is your Gutierrez. I'm Bobby Jones. Let's get it.
Should we praise the Browns or just crush the Steelers for being frauds?
Oh, man, here we go. Look, the Steelers were what, 12-4? We knew as the season went on they weren't as good as they were early. We saw them have guys get injured, all of that. But they were playing against a team that did not have its head coach, that did not have its offensive line coach, and hadn't been to the playoffs since I was in my first year of graduate school. Maybe it was the second. It's so long ago I can't remember. Browns went out there and stomped them boys. But let's be fair about something here when we start talking about whether or not the Steelers are frauds or not. If Lamar Jackson had come out there and thrown 4 interceptions, your question would not be about the Baltimore Ravens. Your question would be about Lamar Jackson. Ben Roethlisberger came out here and looked awful, right? You can't blame the snap on him necessarily, but the picks he threw were awful. And if he doesn't throw 4 picks, they have a chance to win that game. So good on the Browns because they had their composure and they held it together. But bottom line for the Steelers was their quarterback was bad, and a bad quarterback might have cost them that game.
Well, I mean, you could blame that fumble on him or not jumping on the ball in a Cam Newton-esque way near the goal line, or blocking one of those D linemen, or kicking the ball out the back of the end zone, something that a savvy veteran might think to do in that moment. You could blame him for that, but he's been protected, had kind of a shield because he won a Super Bowl in the second season. I'm not bitter about the fact that his first Super Bowl, they knocked us out in the AFC Championship game. I just know that Ben Roethlisberger was not balling necessarily, and he got ridden to a championship, and since then we've considered him kind of a future Hall of Famer, which he is, but you're right. This game was a lot about him. The fumble was not on him, but the tip passes wasn't a great throw. You throw 3 interceptions in the first half that set up 3 touchdowns, you're not going to win the game. I do have to give some credit to the Browns, though, because they were able to run the ball against a very good defense when the defense knew we're going to run the ball right now. That's a tough thing to do, and they did it to put those games away. They deserve a lot of credit for that. Without their O-line coach there, without several offensive linemen because they kept getting hurt throughout the course of the game, that was an impressive win. And on top of all of it, I was here for all the petty. Baker Mayfield turning his hat around backwards. All the guys doing the Corvette. Like, I support Juju's right to do those things. But I also wholeheartedly get behind guys who are here to troll after a W.
Well, that's the thing that I think about with this game is normally I try to give credit, just to respect the question here, I try to give credit to the team that won. And it's hard not to give credit to the Browns. I mean, look, they were up 28-0 at the end of the first quarter, the most points ever in a playoff game after one quarter. However, it's a lot harder not to just hate on the Steelers because they started 11-0. And in that stretch, when they were about 6-0, I said to myself, actually, I think I said it out loud on television, the one thing I am not going to trust about this team is Ben Roethlisberger. So come the playoffs, could that guy put 4 good games together? I didn't think so. So I called it then. You can't trust Ben Roethlisberger. Look what we're looking at. You also had the Juju Smith-Schuster thing. You also had Claypool, or was it Lost, never heard of her? So you want to talk all this smack and then have that happen to you. You can't not blame the Steelers or troll the Steelers when the very first play is an embarrassment of a snap, and then your quarterback, like you said, Dom, had no idea what to do in that situation. Looks scared.
What is he thinking?
So scared there. So, no, I'm going to jump all over the Steelers
was,
on this one.
He was thinking he too old to jump on that ball to somebody else jump on top of him. Now, there's another way to give some props to the Browns, and I want to do this while also being, like, macro-level old-school football guy, right? All right, all those offensive linemen kept going down. They didn't have the offensive line coach. The line itself played pretty well. But I get all you guys out here with the you don't pay running backs thing. Maybe you don't pay them, but it damn sure helps to have them, right? Those two dudes that they have, you telling me you would not want them on your team? You telling me you would not find them to be helpful because Nick Chubb looked great. Kareem Hunt as your number 2 running back? That's absurd.
Which QB did more to change their playoff narrative? Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Yo, shout out to the football guys. They just want to set fire to me and Dominique's mentions because they gave us Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, which they're making the Saturday night primetime game, by the way. We've had Mahomes play against Lamar Jackson in the regular season this year and can't get that into the primetime slot. This is the one that people want to see. Now, who changed their narrative? Lamar Jackson did the most to change his narrative in the playoffs because he's the one that actually had a narrative. Right. Josh Allen had a game that he played last year that was one of the most amazing to watch ever because of the meltdown that he had, but nobody held that against him going into the next season. Only Lamar Jackson had that, and thank goodness for him, he had a game against the Titans that was one of those that was very clearly, I am the best player on the field, and whatever happens is going to happen because I am the best player on the field. The thing that's wild about Josh Allen, though, if you went and watched that game, that's kind of what happened over there, too. Like, at Allen's best, he is becoming that guy where it's like, our chance to win or lose is because I'm here. He was their leading passer. He was their leading rusher. But in terms of changing what people were saying about him, Lamar did that. People have been looking for any reason to say something good about Josh Allen. Now they got one less reason to say something bad about Lamar Jackson.
I'm going to start here. Super wild card weekend. Absolutely amazing. Loved it. The three games each day killed it. However, I was not used to said schedule, so I accidentally made some golf plans on Saturday afternoon. So I say all that to say I missed the Bills game. Absolutely missed it. Watched some of it on my phone, but I missed it. So I'm going to have to take your word for that one, Bomani. But the reason, and here I am respecting the question again. You're welcome, producers. Which ones changed the narrative more? I'm with you, Bo. Lamar had the narrative. Josh Allen's narrative was created by, you know, a fat-faced guy who used to sit in the center of this screen, really. The Lamar Jackson narrative was nationwide. Look, people wanted to see him struggle. And in this game, and this is how you know I watched this one, early on, he was just late with his decision-making. It was a split second between, hey, make this throw, don't make this throw. Split second between, you know, break the pocket and run, don't break the pocket and run, and instead get sacked. That changed like late in the second quarter like that. And he took over that game. And you could feel after that long playoff run, he was like, okay, I don't care the opponent. I don't care it's the playoffs. I'm back. I'm the best player on this field. Let's see how deep, not even in this game, let's see how deep a playoff run we can make because Lamar Jackson can do that to any opponent.
I mean, he also was terribly inaccurate, Lamar Jackson, it is, on those first couple drives. That interception was awful because they are packing the box with nine guys and essentially playing one-on-one with no safety help against the receivers, and Lamar threw the ball way behind his receiver. Granted, he doesn't have very good receivers, but it was a turnover and it was a bad pass. That, his accuracy changing and Roman coming out in halftime and attacking the perimeter, like, that helped, and that's an improvement not only on Lamar. I know he gets all the credit and blame, but also on Greg Roman. Greg Roman adjusted in this game in ways that I haven't seen him do before. So that team looks strong and impressive. Obviously, I don't respect the producers, so I will not respect the question because the Josh Allen narrative has flipped more than Lamar Jackson's narrative over the course of the season. Because I think coming into the season, it was like, is Josh Allen going to be there going forward? Now it's like Josh Allen might win an MVP soon. The question for Lamar Jackson was, all right, you're a great MVP level quarterback, but can you do it in the playoffs? Obviously, that's changed right there. And to the point you made earlier, Bo, about them both being the reasons why they won, I'm not Izzy, so I did watch the game live. And then I rewatched it again this morning from the coach's view and watched that all the significant plays in that game, they weren't Brian Daboll schemes. They weren't Stephon Diggs breaking somebody's ankle and getting wide open. The best plays in that game was when people were covered, Josh Allen bought time with his legs, got outside the pocket, and delivered downfield. Not to mention the fact that he ran the most impressive quarterback power slash pass that I think we've ever seen for that first touchdown. He damn near crossed the line of scrimmage. He was up in the mess, stepped back, and threw it up. Josh Allen's game was impressive.
It was the most impressive quarterback power pass you've ever seen because that ain't how they drew it up. That's the reason that thing was what it was. But hold on, Dominique. When we started like getting ready for the show, we have a Google document and they go through different questions that they're going to throw out there. Mm-hmm. So let's throw it to the producer. Put the question in. Go ahead and ask us that question that you really wanted to ask us that was in the document before. Go ahead. Go ahead, producer.
So now do you guys owe Josh Allen an apology?
All right. This I will apologize for about Josh Allen. I said that he would ultimately get a general manager fired. And apparently, he's going to get the general manager a raise, right? I was wrong about that part. But he was sorry when I said that he was sorry. He is the I don't think this is an exaggeration. The literally most improved quarterback I have ever seen in the course of one season.
You don't have to apologize. I will not apologize for saying the truth when I saw the truth. I will also say the truth now when I see the truth. That man is nice. When he was sorry, I said he was sorry. Now he's nice. I say he's nice. If he keep this up, he's going to get an MVP and a Super Bowl at some point. But if he reverts back to that other nonsense, I will go back to saying he's sorry.
Up next on HQ.
It's hard to lose in that situation, even if your quarterback got four fingers and is playing the game. It's real bad. Real bad playing.
And he's Jared Goff in the first place.
On
he's
your thumb
Jared
hand.
Goff without a thumb.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. How the bleep did Russell Wilson and the Seahawks lose to the shorthanded Rams?
Yo, okay. So the Rams went out here with some dude named John Wolford, who none of us had heard of because Jared Goff had a busted up thumb. It was busted up enough that Jared Goff could not start. Wolford wound up getting hurt. They had to take him to the hospital, and Jared Goff came in. And if we like Jared Goff more, we would be talking about what a warrior performance it was. Instead, we looking at Seattle like, damn, how did y'all lose this game? And what you wound up with was the Rams, who have a great defense against Russell Wilson, who was really good for a month. And then after that, he has not been good. We just stopped talking about it because Seattle kept winning enough. So how the bleep did Seattle lose that game? Their offense has not been good. Their franchise quarterback has not been good. And that Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey thing, they traded a lot to get Jalen Ramsey because they were like, look, this will make our defense great.
Your defense
is great. Congratulations.
Yeah, they give a lot of credit to the coordinator, Staley, over there. And he certainly deserves some credit. He's leading that defense. But it's hard to have a bad call when you got two Hall of Famers on the field at all times. So you can build an entire defense around one of those guys. You put more pressure on Aaron Donald, which allows you to take pressure off of your linebackers and your coverage guys. Or you put more pressure on Jalen Ramsey, which allows you to put another safety in a box to stop the run or lean a safety over to help the other defensive back. You got both of them. You can do whatever you want at any given time, any moment of the game. It's hard to be bad. Call cover one. They'll make it work. They got other ballers too. Darius Williams, I was watching him all season. He times up his jumps and takes risks at certain points in the game that you would not expect someone to do unless they are very smart and very well prepared for the game. We saw him do that when he picked off a mother bleeping screen pass. Who does that and took it to the crib? That's film study. That's preparation. So they have a lot of smart guys around, two almost guaranteed Hall of Fame defenders. It's hard to lose in that situation, even if your quarterback got four fingers and is playing the game. It's real bad playing.
And he's Jared Goff in the first place.
On
he's
your thumb
Jared
hand.
Goff without a thumb.
I mean, this game is so violent. I never even would have thought that Walford hit would have resulted in an ambulance taking him away. But, well, I mean, you can't really dissect the defense better than you guys did there. On the other side of the ball, I'm starting to get to a little bit of a Bill Belichick place with Sean McVay in that I can't really explain why he's doing some good things, but he does some good things, whether it be Jared Goff or Walford, who Mina Kimes tells me has an entirely different skill set than Jared Goff does, whether it be with Todd Gurley or without Todd Gurley, seems to find a way. So I'm starting to think that Sean McVay might be one of those, you know, top of the class coaches that we really thought he was that first year when they got to the Super Bowl, because again, one of those deals, it's hard to explain. And when you can't explain it, Dan used to tell us, just credit the coach.
Well, you know what the other thing might be? You guys don't think you're supposed to pay running backs, but it sure is better when you have a good one, and they went and drafted Cam Akers. And what do you know? They went and got a good running back, and the offense looks a lot more like it did when they had a good running back.
Yeah, but that also argues against paying running backs because Cam Akers is a rookie. Just keep drafting them. Keep having them.
I get it. I see why you say don't pay them. I'm just saying stop acting like they're not really good. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson reportedly may want to be traded to the Dolphins. Should the Dolphins give up Tua and a treasure trove of assets to get him?
All right, now we get to the good stuff. Chris Mortensen has reported that Deshaun Watson unhappy. Big part of why he's unhappy is that the Texans contracted a search firm to look for a new general manager. The top two candidates that search firm brought back, Omar Khan and Lou Riddick of ESPN. We got a report that they were negotiating a contract with Omar Khan when the Texans reversed course and then decided to hire Nick Caserio, who worked for the Patriots, and, as you may note, is of a different ethnicity than the guy named Khan and the guy named Riddick. Watson, not happy with that, especially because he felt like he was representing, as Adam Schefter reported, a section of the team in saying that these things like hiring or these interviewing Eric Bieniemy were things that he wanted. It's bad down there, and I think it's worse than people are giving it credit for. However, the no trade clause, They ain't trading no damn Deshaun Watson. Like, yeah, Miami would think about giving up Tua and a bunch of assets because those people aren't stupid. Sure thing versus guy you bench for Ryan Fitzpatrick. You absolutely make that trade every single time. Somebody explained to me, though, in a world with a franchise tag, why in the world the Texans would even feel like they had to trade Deshaun Watson. If he's willing to go to the mattresses and hold out and make it happen, then maybe he can force something. But they're going to either be sorry with him or sorry without him. They don't have to make a move until they want to.
It really hurts my heart, you know, when I have this entire argument build up and give the Dolphins side of it. And Bo tosses it down with by describing Tua as guy who got benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. It really does just blow the argument away where I'm saying, hey, if I'm the Dolphins, there's actual debate here because there's a blueprint for either way, whether it be you go get a guy who's top three, top five in the league at his position, maybe even the best in the league at his position and say, okay, I'll give up a few assets and maybe my team won't be as well-rounded, but we're going to try to win with that guy. Or you have the other blueprint, let's call it the Seattle Seahawks, where you have an inexpensive, and in this case, kind of short, quarterback who then you build around with amazing talent and do great in the draft and then win the Super Bowl that way. As a fan, as somebody who, you know, sort of followed the team since I was a child, I would love to see the guy you draft, the homegrown guy, if you will, go out and eventually win your team a Super Bowl. But man, it is tempting to just go get that guy. If you're the Miami Heat, go get Shaq, go get LeBron, win championships and worry about other people criticizing how you did it. So, yeah, I would trade the guy who got benched for Fitzpatrick for one of the best quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game has changed quite a bit to try to do the Seattle model because that model was built on a dominant defense that was roughing people up all the way downfield. They changed the rules so that that doesn't even work anymore. So you're going to have some offensive production, I think, if you're going to win a championship in the modern NFL. But also, I'll take the more difficult tact here is arguing why Houston should do it, because I agree, they should not. But if you end up with a first-round caliber quarterback, a bunch of first-round draft picks, because I believe the Dolphins have four in the next 2 years, which is a lot to build around, that could potentially be better than a team that has no assets to go get the things that they need to make Deshaun Watson win. They're not winning a championship anytime soon with Deshaun Watson. No matter how great he is, they don't have the assets to build a solid team around him. So you can look at this like the Herschel Walker model, maybe, that the Cowboys did back in the day is they got rid of clearly their best player to get a stockpile to build the team around. So I don't think they should do it, but that if I am Chris Greer, the GM for the Dolphins, I'm calling them like, look, y'all don't got no draft picks. Y'all defense is old as hell. You're not going to win under Deshaun Watson. How about you rebuild with all
our first round? Bill O'Brien gave the Dolphins all the assets. He's just asking for them back.
No, this is the thing I'm asking. Why are we assuming that it's going to take a trove of assets in order to make a trade with the Houston Texans when they gave DeAndre Hopkins away for what? David Johnson and a second round pick? Like the problem they've got there is the owner doesn't know what he's doing and he's got a dude in his ear. And I feel like this is all we need to say about Jack Easterby. Who parlays themselves the job as the chaplain into being the dude that runs football operations? If that don't sound like a hustler to you, I come in here praying and I turn that into one of the biggest jobs in the organization and you fell for that? You ain't got to give them all them assets, but even if you did, give them two first-round picks in Tua, you still got two first-round picks in the next 2 years left.
Throw in J.J. Watt.
What are we talking about here?
Highly Questionable is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Tonight on ESPN, the national championship, Alabama and Ohio State.
Here we go. This is actually quite a game that I feel like the excitement around is but so much because so much is going on in the world. But hey, man, Ohio State, they risk life and limb to have a season just to get themselves into this game. They damn sure better win. Now let's look at Najee Harris of Alabama jump over somebody. Working his way back, it seems like
he might be available for the national championship game at 11. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I mean, they always have like several Pro Bowlers in their backfield at the same time. But the thing I hate most about that clip is the defender's not even trying to go low. Like, why are you bringing that out? Like, that is a response to somebody going low.
Well, what this was a response to, Dominique, was a response to Megan Rapinoe saying, hurdle somebody for me, and he did it. So I'm here to one-up my girl Megan Rapinoe and say, Harris, it's the national championship game. You've got to hurdle two people now. We're going all Seinfeld on you. You got to do it twice. Otherwise, I don't even know what happens.
You know the difference between you and Megan Rapinoe?
Our hair?
Najee Harris has heard of her.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, none of us can get him to do anything. He don't know who the hell we are.
I was having a good day and everything.
All right, that is it. Izzy Gutierrez. Najee Harris has heard of you. I was just...
Hey, Najee.
Maybe not. Dominique Foxworth, he has seen you try to tackle Michael Turner and fail. Thank you guys for joining us.
Just unnecessary. So who's going to win?
Team in red.
Yeah. That is a cop out. That is a cop out.